Welcome to the Pig Health Today podcast, where we talk all health all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Pig Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve pig health, welfare, and performance.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Pick, managing editor of Pig Health Today. Joining me is Athena Dishcham, veterinarian social worker at the University of Minnesota. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
It is great to have you here, and I think you have a very timely, practical topic that's going to be great for, you know, some discussion this morning.
I think everybody can talk about mental health, and the quickest way to break that stigma is for everybody to join in the conversation. But this is a population that has held that off for a really long time. Veterinary mental health statistics have been out for now about 6 years. And when they were released 6 years ago, the world kind of shook a little bit when we found out that veterinarians are killing themselves by suicide at an alarming rate. People went, what is happening? How do we not know this? I remember the first conference I ever went to where we started talking about that. And I actually had a large animal veterinarian tell me this is a small animal problem. We don't have this in large animal. And I just sat there and went, okay, it might take you guys a little longer.
And what are some of the drivers or contributing factors that are leading to this current state?
High debt, incredible isolation. To be a large animal vet, you don't get to be in an urban setting. You're incredibly isolated. We could talk about the old standard of veterinary medicine. You work 100 hours a week, you are on call all the time, you are their lifeline, you don't take vacation, you don't say no, you give, you give, you give. And that's not sustainable. So we put all of these veterinarians into an unsustainable model. A lot of them now are at retirement age and having a really hard time finding people to take over the practice. And they blame it on the current generation in that the new generation doesn't want to do the hard work. Nope. They want to do hard work, but they want sustainability. And what we've had modeled for decades was never sustainable. Veterinarians don't go into the profession because they love people. Veterinarians go into the profession because they love the animals. They have a built-in caretaker genome that from very early on, this is a profession that selects somewhere between the ages of 5 and 8, and they build the rest of their life around making that happen. So they have this caretaker gene, and that caretaker gene makes it really hard for them to say no. It makes it really hard for them to allow themselves time for them. And what it also does is it opens this whole huge box of feelings. They have feelings. And in veterinary medicine, we do not teach them what to do with those, how to manage those, when to acknowledge that they're too much, how to not take on other people's emotions and baggage and feelings. And instead we end up with this person, this veterinarian, who feels deeply and feels other people's stuff deeply. And then that really is painful. And so then they start to build this big old wall around them. Some of them will make comments about how they're dead inside and or they just can't feel. That actually to me is a sign that they have felt too long, too deep, and need a break. But nobody's teaching them how to do that. So we all need stress in our life. Stress is what motivates us. At some level, you are bored if you have no stress. You're sitting around, you're twiddling your thumbs, you're bored. As that line goes up, we start to hit peak performance. That's when we are doing great things. Most of us cannot acknowledge and or have an awareness of where that line is though. And almost all of us push ourselves over the curve. And that is where no good thing comes. That is where we start to see the signs of burnout. What our world has said is compassion fatigue for a really long time. And what now a bunch of us in the veterinary mental health profession are calling more likely moral distress.
What are some signs of moral distress?
Moral distress is really about going too far for too long with situations that may or may not sit perfectly within your moral compass. And if we think about vet med, mm-hmm. and how often that happens, and how often they are told they don't have the autonomy to say no to certain situations, and instead they just push through, we get to moral distress.
So what should veterinarians be looking for as far as warning signs?
When you ask somebody how they're doing, if they say, I'm okay, or I'm fine, stop right there. Those are canned answers. Society has said that if I say I'm okay or I'm fine, that you can move on in the conversation. What those actually say is I'm probably not okay and I'm probably not fine, but I don't necessarily want to get into it with you, and or I don't know that it's safe to get into it with you. So if I were to say I'm okay, I'm fine, and you said,
really?
Really? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Is there some? Are you really okay? That would force me to go, somebody noticed. We do this all the time. A lot of veterinary medicine is no eye contact, eyes on the floor. Make eye contact, engage the people around you, because if you get a hint that they're not okay, it's okay to ask. You're not taking their personal load on, but you're invested in how they're really doing.
There is a bit of a stigmatism in rural America related to mental health, and you know, what advice do you give veterinarians and producers on this front, mm-hmm. and what resources are available to help?
Absolutely. So if there's a stigma of mental health in veterinary medicine, amplify it a lot and put it in rural America, and that is what our producers and farmers are facing. The fact is, the suicide statistics on both sides are staggeringly similar. And there was actually some reports done by the CDC on that recently. And they
2018,
had,
right?
Yeah, 2018. They had to dig into some of those death records because a lot of them looked like an accident. But what they're finding is those weren't accidental deaths, that those were deaths by suicide, and that our farm community is facing a very similar epidemic. And it went silent for even longer than veterinary medicine did. The similarities between the two are staggering as well in debt load. Work-life balance, or what I would rather call sustainable balance.
Yep.
We have to do something better about this. Now, when you said you can't go into rural America and talk about your feelings, trust me, I'm aware. Every time I have a conversation with my dear father, it's, your feelings belong in the Twin Cities, not on the farm. And so I have to take a more backwards approach with him and not actually address the feelings directly, but really ask him, how's it going on the farm? What's been happening? And try to get at those feelings in a backwards place.
So active engagement.
Active engagement. Ask them how the family is. If a veterinarian walked on my farm and said, hey, how is your family? They might find out way more about the stressors going on in that farm, in that family, than any other conversation. If they went in and say, hey, how you feeling? Ooh, I'm fine. Eyes down. I'm fine. Again, that canned answer. They could maybe push, but go back door. How's the family? How's the dog? How are the crops doing? Ooh, that's an even bigger question for some of them. And really engage them on the life stuff and see what comes out. You might be surprised how much more you get from your producers than I'm fine and I'm okay.
And where should veterinarians and producers go for more resources?
In the technological era, I love YouTube. And there are multiple videos right now being put out by family farms, widows whose mm-hmm.
spouses have died by suicide, talking about why this needs to be a part of the conversation. Go on there, look around, see if you find something that resonates with you. And then when in doubt, reach out to your mental health community and see if you can find somebody who speaks mental health and rural life. That is becoming a booming part of the mental health community.
And what is, on a final note, what is one take-home message that you want veterinarians to keep in mind coming out of your talk at AASV?
I think the biggest piece, if we're going to go to that caretaker genome, you can't pull anybody else out of the stream if you're into. So we need to get the veterinarians to a better place so that I'm not pulling them downstream. I'd love to be upstream further and doing more stuff like education versus the day-to-day, let's talk about your feelings. Pull yourself out of the stream so that you can help all of us on the banks pull the people out who need out.
Thanks for listening to the Pig Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting pighealthtoday.com/join.